While India's electrical outages were unexpected, power outages in neighboring Pakistan have been intentional, the result of summertime energy rationing. This happens year after year. Despite billions of dollars in U.S. aid, Pakistan has been unable to keep the lights on. And now the situation is getting worse, with riots erupting over factories that were forced offline. NPR's Lauren Frere reports from Islamabad.
Only the mosque and a handful of shops in this commercial district have power. Generators rumble outside the few businesses that can afford them. Mohammed Iqbal, a tailor, sits sweating in his darkened shop. He's got hundreds of orders for new clothes due by the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. But power outages mean he can only run the sewing machines a few hours a day.
Earlier, the customers would come to us and say that, like, I want this dress to be ready in the evening. But now, even 4 days, we are not sure whether a dress would be prepared even in 4 days because there is much load shedding.
Pakistan's government sheds customers from the overloaded power grid, causing rolling blackouts. Most people have only a few hours of electricity a day here, and even that's dwindling. Iqbal had to lay off 30 of his 60 workers. Up a rickety metal ladder in a sweltering windowless chamber, the remaining workers cut fabric by hand. A trainee who goes by the single name Shahzad uses an old-fashioned manual sewing machine made of wood and iron. He halts the machine and cries out in English and then lapses into his mother tongue, Urdu.
I have no money.
We do not have electricity at home. When we go there, we can't sleep properly. And when we come here, we can't work here properly because there is much load shedding. And financially, we are very disturbed, very much disturbed.
Pakistan's government says it can't afford to keep up with increasing electricity demand as more and more people crowd into urban centers. But with nationwide rioting over blackouts, the prime minister has promised to buy more fuel for power plants. Opposition leaders accuse the government of spending too much on electricity subsidies, keeping prices artificially low for political gain. Senator Haji Mohammed Adil leads the Awami National Party, which has threatened to pull out of the governing coalition over the blackouts.
Minister of Electricity failed badly. So I'm with the poor people of Pakistan who, due to closure of the factories, they are jobless and they are facing electricity charges even in my house. After every 1 hour, there is no electricity.
As if on cue, the lights went out in his office as we spoke. Pakistan's electricity comes mostly from a mix of thermal and hydroelectric plants. Problems have more to do with mismanagement than scarcity of resources, says local political columnist Haris Khalik. Take natural gas, for example.
We are self-sufficient in natural gas, but natural gas was not used to produce electricity. It was used to bake breads in the villages of Punjab, for instance. It's not efficient.
With 4.5 years in power, this government is on track to become the longest-serving civilian government in Pakistani history. But discontent over blackouts has some workers agitating for a return to military rule. Political commentator Haris Khalik says it's wrong to blame democracy, though.
If you see that the incumbent government has not delivered, you know, vote them out and get another government. You know, if the British government is not performing, nobody would say that why doesn't the army take over in the UK? So why is that raised in Pakistan? I know there is a history, but I think we should be very careful.
Back at his suit shop, tailor Mohammed Iqbal says he'd hoped democracy would bring better services like electricity. We selected these people, and now this is the situation, he says. So I don't know what type of punishment we're going through. Lauren Frayer, NPR News, Islamabad.